This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go, 2 hours left of the big show. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday. Boys, we still have to pick a Way Back Wednesday theme for tomorrow.
Oh, we do, you're right.
Tomorrow we're at Carbach Brewery, so is everybody else. So you want to come out and join us, they're going to have t-shirts, hats, and beer glasses up until they run out of them with Rockets themes. So stop by for that and see us as well. Hang out, check the broadcast, and then if you want, check the television broadcast so you don't have to go to the game, Barry.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking forward to that.
You don't sound
The Carbach thing, not the game, not the Rockets game.
You think it's over?
Mm-hmm. It's
definitely
over. See,
on SB Nation Radio, they asked me the other day, and they said, you know, what do you compare with what the Rockets are about to face with the Warriors? And I said, quite honestly, the parallels are there between the Raptors and the Rockets, both number one seeds, both outstanding franchise record-breaking regular seasons, but both facing lots of issues when it comes to the playoffs and the playoff success. And you watched what happened with Toronto. They focused. They didn't come right out with their general manager and say they were obsessed with the Cavs, but they knew who they had lost to and been eliminated by in the past. And they knew that this was the year in their mind to get over the hump. Number one seed, you got the home game. You're going to put the onus on putting pressure on LeBron. Lose game one, fold up your tents, go home. You're swept in four games. Now, I'm not saying the Rockets are going to get swept, but I think there's a chance now because you and I talked about this yesterday. I said, for as fun of a run as this has been in the regular season for your Houston Rockets, for all the things they've accomplished, including, again, the franchise record for regular season wins and the number one seed, as quickly as it all came together, and as long as you put a full season together to get all those accolades, you lost it all in one game. Now, you haven't been tested that much because you were rolling. You haven't faced a ton of adversity. This is as much adversity as you're going to face the whole year. It's how you bounce back from this will show a ton about the intestinal fortitude, the togetherness of this team. And I'm with you. I'm not sure which Rockets team is going to show up because your general manager has said you're obsessed with the Warriors. You were focused on the number one seed, the best record, the home court. You had it all, and you let it all slip away.
That sounds like a song.
Okay.
Isn't that a song?
You had it all, and you let it all slip away?
Then that sounds like a Bon Jovi song.
I don't know which song. But it could be a chorus.
Well, if I can get credit for it and paid for writing that, those lyrics, then I'm all for it.
You should be all over it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm with you, though.
Say goodbye. Oh.
take out the sports talk radio person. Take out my having to be objective. As a fan, to me, last night was demoralizing. I'm not saying that the Rockets feel that way. I know that they're professionals and they know that, hey, it's just one game. We lost one game in all the other series. It wasn't to the Warriors, and it wasn't the first game, and it wasn't at home, and it wasn't when you were hanging in there for a half. But as a fan, I'm not going to lie. When I laid my head on the pillow last night after the game, first thought, it's over. They're probably going to get swept.
Barkley said it, and people don't like it. But it's exactly what I thought, too. I looked at this team. I looked at their body language.
Mm-hmm.
I know the emotions that
even
went
late
into
in the
this.
Fourth.
I've got friends in the franchise that knew how excited they were because this was their year. And I knew going, like you said, going to bed last night, it may be over. It may be over and be over quickly for as much a highly anticipated series as this has been all season long because of the fact that they just ripped your heart out in game one. And took away everything you worked so hard to achieve. And I get sick of the ISO thing too. Look, I know they score 60% or more of the time with the way that they played offense. But the one thing to piggyback on what you said, Barry, is it's one thing when you're going up against the Cat. That's Karl-Anthony Towns.
Uh-huh.
It's another thing when you're going up against the Stifle Tower and Rudy Gobert. But when you face a beast like the Warriors that have the length, athleticism, and the versatility that Warriors lineup has, it's a whole different animal. And you have to adjust accordingly because they can do things. They switch everything and they make no bones about it, and they don't care because they feel like every one of their guys, even Curry, which obviously was the Rockets' focus, was wherever Curry is, we're going to attack him. But the help defense behind him and around him made it easier for the Warriors because they have that versatility, but even more so than that, because ISO ball was so predictable. Where the Rockets did their ISO ball in the regular season, hey, Harden brings it up, but he hands it off to Paul, and then Paul goes. And if it's not there right away, he'll give it back to Harden. Harden will ISO then too, but it's variety. But because it was so dictated by one guy and one guy only on each possession,
yeah,
so much easier to defend.
Yeah, it's not a very creative. It doesn't feel creative at times.
No,
for sure,
at all.
Let's take Mike's call. He's been holding a while.
Yep. USA Mike, what's up?
What's up, guys? Man, I'm going to tell y'all, this is why y'all are my favorite sports station. In the past two segments, you have taken the top 4 points from last night from me. But I will say, Barry, I definitely agree with the announcing at halftime. It was horrible. But the point that I wanted to make is the 18 and 28 between Curry and Thompson, that's 46 points. And I think that was a major big deal for them. You can either let Curry go off, but Klay normally does disappear. And my last point is this is kind of the football equivalent to the Texans and Patriots. And I'll hang up and listen to what y'all think.
That's a really good point, USA Mike. It really is. I mean, this is it is, although, I mean, well, the Texans are never going to be number one in the AFC.
I'm trying to think of where you had two perennial powerhouse teams, but one just couldn't ever beat the other.
You're looking at it.
You know, because you can't say Steelers-Patriots. You can't, you know.
No. I mean, he's got a good point. Not that the Texans have ever been a powerhouse, but
from a local perspective, the local angle is there.
Yeah.
But here's the one thing that people are slipping up, Barry, on the other side of the equation, because I hear what you're saying about the Durant factor. But people forget very quickly. Klay Thompson is probably the best shooter in the league, not named Steph Curry.
When they left him wide open.
Oh, my God. He said in the postgame he's never been that wide open in his life in the playoffs.
It's like, what? That's just, whose man is that?
You know how lucky they are to have a guy that could skip town, go off on another team, and be one of the top 10 players in this league, one of the best shooters in this league, get all the individual accolades. But he even said in the postgame last night, which I thought was unbelievable, but so Klay Thompson, hey, I've been lucky and blessed enough to be on a team where every year since I've been in the league, I've been in competition. Now I'm fighting for a championship every season. And if I, you know, play second, third, or fourth fiddle because other guys are doing it, it's the beauty of being able to be a part of that team atmosphere. How many guys are you going to find that says that, Russell Westbrook, instead of saying, I'm getting mine.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my money. I'm going to prove I can be Batman, not Robin, and I don't care about the rest. He's the exact opposite, but because of it, people kick him in the grapes and say, he's not that good. You know, he's not. I had a guy on Twitter today go back and forth with me, Nick Young and Klay Thompson beat me. Come on. I mean, Nick Young and Klay Thompson, that's easy to defend. I get the swaggy P factor, but you left him open too. But the Klay Thompson
factor.
It was
three shots that came, three three-pointers that came pretty quickly, and he didn't do anything else.
Exactly.
After that.
But Klay Thompson, you can't sleep on that guy.
No, you can't. You can't leave him open. Somebody said Bills, Cowboys, and Giants, Bills in the 90s. Two teams that might be similar.
Not bad.
Yeah, and then, well, we'll get to that later. We've got tons of texts and stuff. But right now, I want to talk about money. I want to talk about $100,000. It is upon us, people, this week. Steelhouse Poker Club, $100,000 tournament. It's here, May 18th and May 19th, right here in our fine city, the Bayou City, the Space City. It's the largest poker tournament. It's the richest poker tournament ever in the city of Houston and the state of Texas. $100,000, and you can only get it at Steelhouse Poker Club. Now, let me tell you where they're at. It's I-45 North and West Road. So if you like money or you like playing poker or you just want to take your shot at getting rich, May 18th and May 19th, I-45 North and West Road, Steelhouse Poker Club is where you want to be. That's where you want to join. Now, I said it's the biggest in history, but check it out. For $300, you get your shot at the $100,000 and they are guaranteeing at least $10,000 every day for every tournament from Monday through Saturday. $10,000 every day guaranteed for every tournament Monday through Saturday. Why are you not signing up? Why are you not getting out there? It's Steelhouse Poker Club, I-45 North and West Road, May 18th and May 19th. Like Joel told you earlier, we're going to be out there May 18th. I'm really excited about that. And I'm talking with Jordan. I'm going to try to get out there on May 19th and get in the tournament myself. Because I tell you what, If I win that $100,000, I quit. I'm just letting you know, man. Maybe not. But I want my shot at that money. I'm excited about it. I'm going to be there. I-45 North and West Road. For more information, guys, online, steelhousepoker.com.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Almost to the halfway point in the show. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects, it's ESPN 97.5. Hey, I don't want to be Debbie Downer all day.
Okay.
And I know that people have beaten the Rockets' woes to a pulp. So let me add this. Bill O'Brien made an appearance, I believe it was on either NFL Network on one of their shows. But he basically said that Deshaun Watson's coming along so well that he anticipates that he'll be ready for training camp.
That is
some really good news.
That is good news. And I hope he's right. You never know what to expect with Bill O'Brien when he tells you something.
My question for you then becomes, if that's the case, and he's ready for a full season, and I was crunching some numbers, and I know it's rare.
Yeah, that is rare for you. Like, when you came in with these stats, I'm like, look at my baby boy's all grown up.
So, the last 4 weeks that Watson was at the helm before he got hurt, they averaged 40 a game scoring. Okay. The 4 weeks prior to after, they averaged 13.6. Overall, while he was at the helm, they averaged, I think, 36. And without him for the season, they averaged 15. So, wow. I know you want to temper expectations, but how high are too great of an expectation if he is okay, if he's healthy and he goes through training camp and he gets you into the regular season? Are you anticipating this team's an 11-win team, which a lot of people are predicting? Or are you saying, hey, he's still only a second-year quarterback that hasn't even played a full season, maybe pad the brakes a little bit and say, realistically, in the 9-10 range?
I mean, you know.
The division got a lot better.
The division got better. I have to go back and look at the schedule, but I want to say when I first glance, I was like, you know, this team actually could win 11 games.
Yeah, their schedule outside of the division isn't all that tough.
No.
And that's for obvious reasons, because you weren't all that good a year ago. Thankfully, a lot of it due to injury. But you look at everything and say, the other thing that he wasn't going to be committal on, but people are saying the hot rumor now of one of the two teams that Dez may come down to is the Texans.
Oh, no. Driving in this morning or driving to lunch, I heard Granato and Rahil and Dell talking about the fact that he might be going to the Packers.
I was
going to
say, the other team that I didn't want to mention.
But don't talk about it. The Packers is the hot rumor.
But I've heard quite simply, and Jason Witten was out there with that one, saying, look, the best back shoulder thrower passer of all time is Aaron Rodgers, and you've got a guy that can really run routes and Dez, and all these different things, fine. But the other team that was out there was the Texans. And if you look at what Hopkins is fantastic, and he had a hell of a year last year, especially when Deshaun was on the field. But in order to give him more opportunities to get better matchups, lesser coverage, or at least not be the focal point of every time they throw the football, on the other side, Will Fuller, we know his hands, suspect. Mm-hmm. Braxton Miller, we know, athletic as hell, but can't stay on the field. Why wouldn't you look at a guy that you could put on the other side that could give you a combination that could be devastating?
I mean, it makes sense.
It really does, which is why they won't do it. I'm just being honest.
What are you trying to say?
And again, he's looking for a one-year deal. Because he wants to prove himself so he gets the paycheck that he thinks he deserves. So that's why the other thing makes sense with Green Bay. They lost Jordy Nelson. They didn't draft anybody. You need a veteran because Rodgers is a guy that relies on guys that run routes that he can trust, and rookies he just doesn't have that faith in.
Right.
I get that. But from a Texans perspective, this kid is so good, you want to set him up to succeed even more? Give him help on the other side.
Yeah, it would make sense. I certainly wouldn't be upset as much as I hated watching Dez Bryant as a Cowboy. It's kind of like when Neil Chuckster came to the Rockets. I wouldn't be upset if Dez Bryant was lining up on the other side, because you know he's not what he used to be, but I think he could still, he's serviceable enough. I mean, he's still a top 20 receiver in this league. So I'm with you on that. Speaking of Texan news, I just saw something from Sarah Barshop.
Our girl?
Yeah. KJ Malone, son of NBA Hall of Famer Karl Malone.
Yeah.
Has called it quits. Now, why
they signed him as an undrafted free agent.
They signed him as an undrafted free agent this year, and he's already retired. He said, thanks to the Houston Texans for an incredible opportunity, but due to my previous knee injury during my career at LSU, I have not been able to recover and decide it was best to step away from the game of football and take time to heal. So he said, with that being said, I will further my career in law enforcement. Thank you, everyone, for all your support.
Well, Houston fans can relax because they were worried about Karl Malone being a fan of one of their teams because he said he was ready to be on jump on the Texans bandwagon.
Did
once
you
they
see
took
a picture of him? He looks like a mountain man. He looks like if you got lost in Tennessee and just came upon a cabin.
Got the gray beard.
In the middle of the Smoky Mountains, it would be some dude wearing like a beaver pelt hat and just, hey. He's just like making his own like hooch and I don't know, man. He looked rough.
Well, and that's kind of who he is. He likes that whole mountain man reputation and all that other stuff. But look, if you're a Houston fan, you're not a big Karl Malone fan.
No, you're
just
definitely
for
not.
All of the years and all of the, especially the one series that I'll never forget, which is the Stockton shot here with a chance to go back to the finals with Charles Barkley. And otherwise,
screw that guy.
I mean, I literally was in the tunnel in the Compaq Center an hour after the game. Charles was still in his uniform and still staring out towards the court, shaking his head. I'm like, you're going to be all right, man? He's like, I cannot believe he made that shot. Yeah. I cannot believe we're not going to the finals. And it was just so painful because, you remember, that was the run. Eddie Johnson was unreal, making shots at the buzzer. They knew that they had a legitimate shot against the Bulls if they got there. And just to have their hearts ripped out by Stockton Malone. And, yeah, I get on you guys when you get on the officials. But Karl Malone pushed off like you wouldn't believe on that screen on Clyde to get Stockton open. And then little short shorts drilled the shot. That was painful.
Did y'all happen to, this is a text, did y'all happen to see the Queen biopic Bohemian Rhapsody trailer? I have not.
I did not either.
You a big Queen fan?
I'm not against them. I mean, look, they've got a ton of great songs.
Yeah. Nick, you a Queen fan?
Yeah, there's quite a few songs that I like.
Okay. That doesn't surprise me. I feel like you're kind of more, are you more a hip-hop or rock and roll?
I'm both.
Because I feel like you're kind of split right down the middle.
Yeah,
I know.
Because I grew up hip-hop, and then there was a phase of my life where I just completely went away from it and stuck to, like, alternative rock. And now I feel like I'm back to hip-hop again.
Really? So you're moved away? Okay.
Yeah. There was, like, 4 or 5 years where I was just only listening to rock.
Really?
Yeah.
And then you got away from that.
Yeah.
So that would explain why you don't like Greta Van Fleet.
Well, the thing is, it's so hard to become famous as a rock band now. It is. So hard.
Who was your go-to
That's why
on the
I
rock
liked
side?
It.
Striper?
Which Striper?
That wasn't nice.
I don't know. Should I hit that?
Green
Day, Offspring, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
So speaking of music, we're getting a lot of texts and tweets and with suggestions for Way Back Wednesday because Joel brought it up.
Yep.
Everybody's saying songs about drinking since we're going to be at Carbach. I think that kind of makes sense.
Okay. We can leave that. We can let that simmer for a little
bit.
Marinate. I'm open to it.
Okay.
Blame it all on my roots.
There you go. There you go. John Parker said, do songs about school's over. No, God, that would be so hard. There's like two songs about school.
School's out for summer.
Yeah. And then what? Hot for Teacher. And then we're done. Like, what else are you going to play?
Wasn't there School Days or that was a movie?
That was a movie by Spike Lee, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, we got 90 in the books. 90 still to go in the big show. We're at the halfway point. We'll take a break. You can too. But don't touch that dial because we'll be back in just mere minutes. And we're going to continue to bring it for you. Lots on the agenda and lots to get to. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, give us a call. 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P listener line. You can call. You can text. You can watch us live, which I don't know why you want to see that. Or you can hit us up on Twitter. Back with the second half of the show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store.
Well, it is. All nice and decent, slip of the curl. This is Mr. Captain Sugar Ray riding through.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the second half of the show. It's the usual suspects, Nick, Barry, Joel, ESPN 97.5. Run the full gamut, man. We're flying around today. What was that for?
Somebody texted and said, hey, Barry, check out Karl Malone's daughter.
Which one?
First of all,
one of them played WNBA basketball.
Oh, did she?
Cheryl Ford.
No, this is Carly Malone. I just need to know if she's of age before I check her out.
Here's the other thing, by the way. There's been stories. Carl's hasn't done a great job being a daddy at all.
Really?
Times. Yeah, he has twins.
What? A sports guy? Not yeah, good at being
twins,
a dad?
But overall, there's like certain kids that he paid attention to and really supported, and other kids he just left out there. And just go back if you want to research that track record. It's not so good.
No, I just want to see, like, you know, his daughter, if she's of age. That's all I want to know, though. Chris Householder said, do songs about gambling. That could be on the list because we're at Steelhouse Poker this Friday.
Friday.
If it is, I Claim the Gambler by Kenny Rogers. You guys can go to hell.
You can absolutely have it.
You can have whatever else you want. Okay, so real quick, somebody wanted me to compare when I was doing the comparison between Kevin Durant and James Harden. They said, what about their shooting percentages? Which I think is a fair point. But if you're in the KD camp, you're not going to like the result because it's exactly the same. KD was 14 to 27. Harden was 14 to 24. He was more efficient from the field. He was also more efficient from three-point land. Harden was 5 of 9, KD 3 of 6. So he literally, in just about every single category, was better than KD.
I mean, I've heard multiple arguments saying that Curry is the most important player on the team, and I might agree with you. Kevin Durant puts him over the hump, though. Yeah. Kevin Durant is just insane from an offensive standpoint. So he's going to get his shots.
Yeah.
He's going to get his attempts whether you like it or not. And when you get your attempts and you're that good of a shot, you're going to make a lot of them. So, yeah, I think you're right. Harden was more efficient, but Kevin Durant's still going to get his because of all the shot attempts.
Yeah, and I think we were talking about defensively the difference, and I don't have the PER, the player efficiency ratings for them defensive efficiency ratings in front of me. I'm pretty sure Harden was worse in that regard, though.
As a primary defender last night, James Harden gave up 33 points.
I'd be curious to see what Durant gave up because no one else outside of James Harden put up any points. So if it was Capella,
Durant,
if it was
only
Ariza,
on a switch that he got one of those two guys.
Yeah.
Now the bigger stat too was 54 points were given up on uncontested shots by the Warriors, which means either a dunk, a layup, or an open three. So the Rockets' defense overall just wasn't
the
that
positive
good.
No. Is they didn't have that great a defense. If they were scoring more, there might be a different game. I mean, the biggest lead of the game was 14 points. And so, I mean, if I'm not saying they shouldn't play defense, but again, it goes back, and I know it sounds like we're talking in circles, it goes down to offensive productivity from the starters and some of the role players. It's just, that's all. I mean, they didn't even play that good of defense, and the biggest lead was 14 points.
But here's the thing too, right? Part of what the Rockets have predicated that offensive success all season long has been scoring in bunches, scoring fast, scoring quick, playing up tempo, getting out in the break, out on transition. I don't think they did nearly enough of that. I think they can cure a lot of that and get a lot of more people involved because a lot of the game in the NBA on a day-in, day-out basis is decided by having an advantage in the numbers, going 4-on-3, 2-on-1. You know, having a man down, which sometimes I saw Golden State do, and I saw the Rockets still get into a half-court set. It's just not Rockets basketball. And the other thing before we get off of it, the one thing that people lose sight of is, as much as we say, because Clint Capella is such a unique being in the fact that he's 7 foot, but he's athletic, and he's long, and he's these things. Kevin Durant's 6'11". Kevin Durant can put it on the floor against anybody in this league. Big, small, quick, whatever you want to say. He can go in and he can put it on the post. He can take contested shots. He can make threes. He's about as unguardable as it gets next to LeBron James and a very, very small handful of players overall. But I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying he's one of the best three offensive players in the world. So he's no slouch.
Isn't he arguably the second best player in the world?
It just depends on how you look
at it.
It's
arguable.
Look, I'm also not going to take away from James Harden. You can say, well, he manipulates the, you know, he has the rules in his advantage, or he takes advantage of the way the game's played or called. even people that don't like James Harden will tell you he may go down as one of the greatest, one of not Daryl Morey's, but one of the greatest isolation scorers of all time, period. Best scorer in the league right now, hands down. So I'm not taking anything away from James Harden.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's going to win the MVP. I think he's the best 101 scorer. I just don't know. When you talk about Kevin Durant, you talk about LeBron James. I don't know that I put James Harden in that group with them.
Why?
Because, are we just talking offensively?
I think for the most part, that's the way people look at it. But you're right. There are two ends of the floor. Kawhi Leonard showed us all.
But here's the difference, too. Like, James Harden does not have a post-up game.
Oh, I disagree.
He's good at what he does. He's good at ISO. He's good at getting to the rim. He's good at running.
He's strong. He can put someone on the post if he has to.
But being strong and having a legitimately good post-up game where you can score is two different things.
But even if he did,
Kevin Durant can put his back to the basket and get a bucket. LeBron James can put his back to the basket and get a bucket whenever they want. I don't know if James Harden can do that.
I think he can. And I think next time we have Mikhail on, too, we'll ask him.
Okay.
For all the things that Mikhail will pick apart on Harden's game, too, one thing he will tell you is James Harden can post people up because James Harden is so strong. He's not like this big weightlifting guy. We mentioned Karl Malone, guys like that. But there's a reason why James Harden holds his own on the low post playing defense against bigger, stronger, more athletic guys.
I get that, but I'm saying...
You're saying he can have a post-up game, but he doesn't show it.
No.
He doesn't have to.
Never see it. When's the last time you've seen him put his back to the basket?
Their style of play, when has anybody put their back to the basket for this team? If they were playing a different style of offense, he could do it.
Okay. I guess we'll never know. All right,
you ready for this one?
Real quick, Lauren Pope tweeted and said, Karl Malone's daughter... Carly Malone is 20, so you're safe to Google. So I looked her up on Twitter. She's cute.
All right. There's a Carly. There's a Kylie.
Why is there
a reason we're looking at her anyway? Is Carly doing something?
Somebody just said, check her out. She's hot. Because we brought up Carl Malone.
Right.
Somebody also texted the show and was like, man, where'd it go? Carl Malone, son already retired. Yeah, thanks for joining the show. We did that already. You guys going to have to.
We got these things called.
Keep it up.
Loyal listeners, podcasts.
Keep it up.
Things that stay up to speed.
Maybe they just got in the car. You never know. I expect you to be listening all the time, though.
I do, too.
No excuses.
And if you miss it, the real usual suspects go back and listen to podcasts.
In a meeting, you should be listening.
No.
No?
After the meeting.
No. In the meeting. No. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with in a meeting?
Well, part of the benefit of being able to listen at work is you have a job. If you're listening during a meeting, you might have that resource taken away.
But if you don't have a job, guess what? You can listen whenever you want. You're going to have to prioritize people.
Speaking of priority... The number one priority in your life, whether you have a family and or kids or just a wife or a house, is to be protective of your family, your surroundings, and your property. And I'm telling you right now, gang, there's no sicker feeling in the world or pit in your stomach feeling than you know that your property has been taken from you or someone's broken into your house. They've invaded your private space. It's an awful feeling. And when it happened, you start scratching your head and you're figuring out, what should I have done? What could I have done? What do I need to do going forward? Well, the first thing I can tell you is call Hawk Security, 281-947-HAWK. Hawk Security has smart home automation. It can give you peace of mind knowing your family and your home are protected at all times. That means 24/7. You owe it to yourself to call Hawk Security today and make sure you mention the code Nate, N-A-T-E. If you call Hawk Security at 281-947-HAWK and you mention Nate, you are going to get $400 worth of free stuff. And who doesn't love free stuff? A free doorbell camera, free installation, and it's all part of the Go Hawk Smart Home Package. That means 24/7 protection. But you got to be one of the first 100 people to call in and mention Nate, and you'll get that deal. It's 281-947-4295. As I mentioned, you don't even have to be home to be able to protect your house. You can see who's at your door. Even if you're driving around somewhere or you're at the mall, your phone will let you know with the Hawk Security app, what's going on at your property. If any part of any door or window has been opened, you'll know, and you don't have to move a muscle. It's all part of having that ability to control your security at your fingertips. Stop wasting time. Call Hawk, 281-947-HAWK. Mention Nate. Free doorbell camera, free installation, save $400, and have that peace of mind of knowing you are doing what you need to do to take care of you, your family, and your house. Protect what matters most today. Hawk Security and HawkSecurity.com.
ESPN 97.5.
97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep. Hour number two, 3 hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel, if you are loyal or you've just been tuning in for short periods of time, you know that we are the people that make this thing go, aside from you, which is why we call it The Usual Suspects. So we appreciate everybody listening.
We have a new watcher on the stream, Jason L. He said, "This is my first time watching the live stream. Barry really enjoys expressing with his hand gestures." And then John Parker said, "And that's how Barry's Jiggly Arms Twitter was created."
But we put that to rest.
So they can see. So this is like a conversation between everybody watching the stream?
Yes.
Okay.
To which Jason responded, "Muscle jiggles more than fat," I once heard a man say. It's true! You guys are idiots if you don't think muscle doesn't move.
Let me put my pink headphones on and listen to this.
When you flex, yes, muscle doesn't move. It's solid. But when you're not flexing, it's going to move, you idiot. I don't know why I'm so passionate about this. I really don't care.
As long as you block the blue chair, you're good.
Yeah, exactly. So they were going back and forth on that. But then John Parker said, "Are you guys wearing matching shirts?" No, we're both wearing black.
Yeah.
But mine says, "Remember the Dome," and yours is just a Nike, a little Nike shirt. God, you guys didn't realize.
You were dressed up for the video earlier, right?
One of them.
By the way, do you tape your nipples so it doesn't look like you have, you know, hard nips on the video?
I've been known.
You really tape them?
Because someone, again, because you get critiques.
What?
People started giving me
nipples.
People gave me a hard time. People gave me a hard time one video, 1 week, because I had a t-shirt on, and they were like, "Gee, is someone tickling you under the table? I mean, you're going to, like, cut glass." I'm like, seriously?
I need to start doing that.
You're not listening to the video? That's what you're concerned with?
I thought you did, but I wasn't sure. But hey, do what you can. That's cool. I mean, it's for video purposes.
I would say we should talk about this in the hallway next, because we went completely out of order where normally we talk about these things before we get on the air, but let's just blast it out there. Sure, yeah.
Well,
I'm not ashamed of it. If people bust it and that's what they're looking at, they're weird.
I'm with you. I tend to have erect nipples frequently as well.
It's just something you're born with, man.
I mean, what can I say? My nipples are sensitive, and I don't know why you're laughing at that.
That's so funny.
Also, something that James Harden and us have in common, because he also, if you notice, has erect nipples most of the time. Okay. Look it up. Just check it out next time.
I'm sorry I pointed it out, Joel.
Just look at his nipples the whole game next time on TV. Not there, because you can't see that far. But record it on your DVR. And then watch his nipples.
You know who has an issue
very
with it
like
is
firm
LeBron
nipples.
James. And if you watch this, he not only wears like the tank top underneath the jersey.
Yes,
he's constantly
adjusting,
rubbing and touching and doing things.
Boobs.
And I think at one point they said sometimes he puts Vaseline like here, but he's constantly doing that too. That's kind of weird. But I've told you this in the past, Nick, especially when the Rockets had the uniforms with the big rocket ship with the mouth and the teeth.
Yeah, the stupid ones.
Yeah, that was all stitching.
Oh,
and
I
the
bet
players
that hurt.
Complained that not only was it heavy when they would sweat, but that the stitching would rip you open. And the guys used to complain. That's where the fad started with wearing a tank top under your jersey, because they'd all get their nipples ripped open by the rough jerseys.
It happens when I ran the marathon. When I was training, it was not uncommon for me to have my nipples bloody.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go out and run. Got some sensitive nips.
Go out and run like 15 or 20 miles. No, not just anybody. Just like if you went out and ran 15 miles, your shirt moves like as you're running. You're not running unless you're running on something really, really tight, like a sports bra. If you're just running like with a tank top or a shirt, like just a cotton t-shirt, you're going to rub your nipples raw about 10 to 12
miles.
You
know those basketball tank tops, the reversible ones that
home,
they wore?
Came home. I was wearing a white shirt training one day. I was running 17 miles. I came home with two little stains where my nipples are.
I disagree. I think you just have some weird nipples.
No.
No.
It happens.
You know those basketball reversible jerseys that had like the silk screen? I mean, but the the numerals and the school name and everything like that.
Uh-huh.
That's the other thing too. If you're running around, you got to be careful what you wear, especially right. when Barry said Lisa had the same thing happen, and she's a female. But when you're training for a marathon, it's different because it's constant.
Moral of this segment: wear nipple condoms.
Nipple
Protect
condoms.
Your nipples That's at all right. times. Whether Somebody, you're shooting a video,
I've learned this from or running married a marathon. To a TV woman. Boy, they got some concoctions for women that are unbelievable.
Really? Yeah. Barry, just wear a sports bra. I'm sure you could use it. Thank you, but I've already made that joke, sir. Do better next time.
Wait, you do jokes?
Play Way Back Wednesday, play the hits of 1995, the year the Rockets won their second title. No. After that performance, no, they get no love. On this show.
I think losers should be the title.
Losers?
Yeah. So we can just find songs about losers.
Well, that's not
losing.
Nice. I was going to say, how many songs are there about brooms and sweeping? We could do that.
Oh, man. That'd be so bad if they play game four in the Bay Area and everybody's got the brooms because they're down 3-0. That'd be terrible.
Yeah, it is.
Paul
Simon. It is going to be terrible.
That was the coolest thing ever.
Slip sliding away.
When the Rockets swept the Magic back in the day, I thought that was. I wanted a broom so bad.
Somebody texted and said, "Why is no one talking about the fact that Draymond Green looked like the got him D's? You know, D's. I can't really say. Yeah." These pills. I can't say the N-word, can I? Because it's not the medical term. These testicles. He does kind of look like that guy, doesn't he? No? You guys don't agree?
Like which guy?
Oh, my God. I'm not going to go back. You should have been paying attention.
I was, but you said these. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, these testicles guy. Oh, yeah, I can't say the N-word. Not that N-word, but the other N-word.
Yeah.
Because it's not the medical term.
I didn't get that vibe. I don't think he looks like the D's N-word guy.
Okay. I kind of do. Somebody wants me to pierce my nipples. This has gone off the rails.
Yes, it did. Thanks, Nick. I did want to mention this story as we continue to move on. It's weird, but it's kind of weird in the keeping it in this segment. Pirates pitcher Jameson Taillon suffered a cut on the middle finger, Nick, the middle finger of his pitching hand last week. As one would expect from a big league pitcher, he really needs and wants that cut to heal. It's reached the point that he was willing to try anything, he said, to search for a remedy, but no, he doesn't actually plan to have his teammates pee on his hands. In an interview with TribLive.com, he said he would be open to his teammates peeing on his cut finger if that would help the healing process. He quote said, "If it helps, I'll put a sign-up sheet and everyone can come and pee. I don't care.
Wait, what?
I just want to, no, I'm not doing
That's
it again.
That's being isolated. For sure.
I just want it to go away.
6-5.
Some appeared to interpret his response as him actually being open to the idea of putting up a sign-up sheet. On Monday, he had to take to Twitter to clarify and said, gotta clarify this whole pee on the hand thing. People offer up their remedies and opinions. I jokingly said, if peeing on it gets me on the field where I belong, I'll put up a sign-up sheet. Not my thing. Promise.
Man, words matter.
And then he retweeted. And then he tweeted after that. But for real, does it work? Asking for a friend.
Yeah.
So at least he's got a sense of humor.
I would
it.
Never let.
Don't you remember who was it? Moises Alou. Because he didn't wear batting gloves. Said he peed on his hands all the time because it toughened up his hands.
Yeah. That's not something I would do. Travis Porter said, I made the mistake once of wearing a cotton shirt when I went on a long run. Never, ever again. I'm telling you, it's a thing. It can happen. It happens to a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. Not just me. You don't play video games. Do you even have like an Xbox or a PlayStation?
No, sir.
There's no way he plays video games.
He doesn't have time. What are you playing right now, Nick?
Xbox. Like what game in particular?
Do you have a game right? Oh, you have Xbox, huh?
Yeah, I've got the Xbox One. I'm not cool like you. I don't
Xbox
have the PlayStation
One. Yeah, you need to get on that PlayStation 4, dude. God of War is not on Xbox, is it?
I think it is.
Is it?
I may be wrong.
Are either of you guys into Fortnite?
I am. I've been playing it a little bit. My brother's really into it.
That's a big deal.
Oh, God of War is on Xbox One. You need to get that game. It's really cool. I didn't think I was going to like it. I was like, this kind of looks stupid, but it's pretty good. I just want a kid because I want to be able to talk like that dude. Like he's completely a jerk to his son. That's what he calls him. He calls him boy. Like I don't even know what the son's name is. He just goes, boy, slow down. It's like the whole time I'm like, man, I want to be a dad like that. He's going to be like, boy, go to bed.
Hey, can I play that one? There
are all the reasons to be a parent.
Yeah, I just want to be a jerk to a kid and get away with it. That'd be so awesome.
I just want to play that drop, but I feel ass playing it. But I really want to play it.
Well, you would do it if it was me. Don't be sensitive now.
Right.
Everyone can come and pee. What about that laugh?
The diabolical.
Good Lord, isolate that.
Put yourself on camera. He is slapping his knee. Look how tickled he is. Oh my God,
everyone
I've never
can come and pee.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious.
I've never seen
that's
him.
That's so funny.
Oh my God, you're such a child. I love it.
Exactly. You're look, laughing along with him.
Look how he is dying in there. Oh my God, that is so funny. All right, we'll get on that God of War so we can talk about it. All we don't right, have to talk it. About it on air, but you need
my
to...
buddy was talking about it too.
Why?
He said...
We brought up my nipples on air. We can bring up anything.
Mine too. I was validating your issue.
Yes.
But I do think that's a good idea because I hate that. Like when we take pictures with people that come in,
yeah.
If I'm wearing a white shirt that day, it's nip city. It is not good.
And for some reason, people in fat, they're like, they focus in on it and they want to mention it. Like we see, we're always getting comments. And I'm like, okay, if it eliminates the comments, fine.
Right. I'm with you.
So, all right. Well, we got two in the books. 1 hour still to go. 60 minutes on the docket. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more. If you want to be a part of the show, the HRNP listener line is now open. 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us up on Twitter. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Truth is hard to swallow, so you pray to God to justify.